Well, hey there, hi there, and hello there, everybody out there in podcast listening land. I hope you've all had an extremely great Thanksgiving weekend. If you live in the States or if you live anywhere else that listens to my podcast, you've just had a great weekend that you've had. You've not gotten too drunk that you don't remember, or that nothing horrible has happened. Excuse me. This is now something like attempt 3 or 4 at recording this show. And as much as I'm getting annoyed at this thing, I'm going to stick with this, plow through, and hopefully we will get to the other end with a... we'll get to the other end with a nice show for you guys. Okay. So, the Career Lad has been not up to much, really. I went into town yesterday to go job hunting, see if there was anywhere in town that had any vacancies or offer that I hadn't already applied for, things like that, and I froze my little ass off yesterday. It was quite strange when I got in because it took me a long time to heat up yesterday. I mean, like, I came into the house and the house was warm, but I still popped the heating on just in case that, one sec. Okay. Yeah, so it took me a long time to heat back up again. And I didn't know what it was. I mean, I think I came back in about 2:30 in the afternoon. I've been out since something like 10:30, 11:30 that morning. And I was still cold at like 3:30, like an hour later. I was still, my chest like had retained a lot of the coldness that it could feel from, that it felt when it was outside. I mean, it was literally as if I had like an ice cube sitting in the middle of my chest, like the inside of it, and I was having to warm up from the outside in rather than the inside out. So yeah, that was like quite interesting for that to take that long. I also spent a great deal of time yesterday having a slight panic attack over certain issues, which I'm not going to talk about on this for a few painful reasons. Oh god, this is insane. One second, guys, while I sort this guy out. Hold on. Okay, hopefully I won't get bothered much more from that. So yeah, that has been roughly the only interesting thing that's happened to me in the last couple of days, if you will. Between that and a couple of different news items that I want to read out. One second, guys. I'm going to have to sort this out again. Bear with me. Okay, so moving on from all that. So yeah, there's a couple of news stories that I wanted to read out. First one was something that actually is... It's not that it's a horrible story, or that it's like an act of God, if you will. It's more the fact that... in this day... What was really like getting to me about it is the fact that in this day and age, we don't have something to help the outcome of this. Basically what happened was, with all the bad weather that we've been having here in the UK, well, I don't know about the whole of the UK, but basically what happened was this would have been Saturday, I believe. On Saturday morning, after we had like started getting snow and rain and stuff like that, basically there was a train derailment just outside of the Inverness train station. After that, it was basically the fact that it was because of a mudslide, they hadn't had time to, it was like apparently there was a mudslide And the next thing, nobody knew anything about it until the train hit it. And for, I think it was something like the first four carriages of the train, I think it was one coming from London, had hit it. Now, to me, right, accidents happen and things go wrong, and you know, and we don't always have a way of a warning, if you will. But what I have a disbelief against is that bear with me one thing, actually, I'm going to need to go to the toilet. Okay, yeah, so basically, what I don't understand is that the fact that obviously this mudslide happened before the train got anywhere near it. And so, what was annoying me is that basically, the train was basically like get up to the point where it actually smashed into this thing. Now, in this technological age, right, we shut down, like if air traffic control is not working properly, with like if there's even like the tiniest little system glitch, they shut down the airspace. Like nobody flies until they sort that little glitch out. So surely they've got something or other that is there for the train lines, or is it just that because it's the train lines they don't really give a toss? You know, it's like train lines have been around forever, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think that, to be honest, if they actually pay attention, train does matter, because I'm not a huge flyer. I don't like to fly at all. I mean, if I can avoid it, I mean, I think probably the scary thing for me is that it's not the actual plane itself. I mean, I've been in cars that have made more noises than some aircrafts these days. But what gets to me is the actual, sorry, I'm just looking for something while I'm saying this, is the actual height that you sit up. So like say 35, 40,000 feet, that is what'll get to me. You know, like if you can look out the window and you don't see anything straight down below you, that's what gets to me. And so I was like, and that's why I don't understand. It makes sense for me that if people, if they would invest, in our country here in the UK, they've invested a lot of money to point out that through global warming and things like that, that we should all be using public transport a lot more. But when they don't seem to be investing anything into the safety on it, then it seems like there is a hugely massive big problem that needs to be fixed. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there just seems like at times there is, oh my god, that was extremely rude. And at times there are a lot more caring about things like, I mean, don't get me wrong, air safety is a major issue, just like safety with traveling on buses, trains, taxis, whatever. But it just seems like they spend a lot of time telling you all this, and then they focus on planes. Now, the only thing that I can that goes through my mind about air travel with regards to safety is that politicians use planes a lot, and I mean a lot. So of course, to me, they're going to invest a lot more into the safety on plane than they are on a train. Now that bang that you heard, something falling, was the speaker connected to my laptop. I've connected two external speakers and they're deciding that they want to fall about. So that's joyful when they break eventually. So yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't understand why. I mean, I think the other thing that sort of gets to them as well about the train line up here in Scotland is the fact that after, from around Perth and Glen Eagles way, it's after that, the train line north is practically one line. So there's lots of passing places for trains, you know, going down and going up to separate each other and so that they don't bump into each other. Now, the thing is that they've got an electronic system in place where they know where the train is. Surely, a system can be put in place to tell them if there's something wrong with the line. I mean, like, if there's something covering the line that they need to get moved or whatever. I mean, it's just that we've got all this technology at our fingertips, and yet the more we get, the more technology we get, it's more the simplest of mistakes that we make with it. You know, it's mean, it's like we have all this technology and yet we still... Oh crap, I'm typing this password now. We've got all this technology and yet we still don't know a lot about it and still don't know how to use it efficiently enough. And as I say, that's what really annoys me, is that we'll make technological advances in things like, we'll make technological advances in safety technology for cars, safety technology for planes, but a lot of the time they forget about the technological advances that are needed for safety, on trains and buses and things like that. I mean, take, for example, what happened recently on July 7th. Okay, not recently, that was like a couple months ago now, but July 7th in London. Look what happened there. They had no safety precautions for those people that ended up getting trapped in those tunnels, in the tube state, in the tube tunnels. They had nothing there to help them. And I know that this is gonna end up sounding like a one-man crusade to help, but you gotta understand, I mean, it's like, they make a big thing about public transport. I mean, I don't know what they do in the States or in the middle of Europe or anything like that, but it's like, they make a big thing about you not using your car, about taking help more environmentally friendly transportation, and yet they don't bother to actually give us a better, more safer options. You know, they don't help us to, like, I mean, accidents happen, yes, and there are going to be absolute idiots out there that want to cause pain and grief to people who are going to do things like blow up trains and stuff like that. That's unavoidable. You know what I mean? It's more the fact that they, when it happens, we don't have a contingency plan. I mean, for example, right, on the scale of July 7th, of what happened in London, in Glasgow, I can't remember how long ago it was now, but they shut down the entire Glasgow local network and did a huge scale contingency plan test, if you will. And basically, it's as if what had happened in London had happened there. And they tested how long the fire brigade were taking to get there, and, you know, like in standard traffic, how long, how easy it was for them to get to people, if they were in the tunnels, how easy they could get them out, how easy they could get things in to help them, and, you know, and a lot of other things. And what gets to me is the fact that people, we can do that, but yet, I mean, in fairness, like, the Glasgow tube situation, and most of it's actually outside in the fresh air, so it's quite easy for them to get to them. But the thing that gets me is that if we can make that plan beforehand, and I mean, yes, I know that the London Underground train system is very, very busy a lot of the time, but surely for public safety, they can say to themselves, well, we need to do something about this. We need to make sure that if or when something's going to go wrong, we've got a plan to get in there and get it fixed as quickly as possible. So, yeah, so it's quite an awkward thing. I mean, I've traveled, after the last time, let me think, there was an event a couple of months before that in London, and I remember getting the train down. And as the train pulled into King's Cross Station, King's Cross St. Pancras train station in London, we looked out of the train windows and looked down the platform. Because basically, when you get into the train station in London, there is only one way out. Well, like, when you get off the train, you have to pass this set at the end. You can't get in and out without either a ticket or, you know, people letting you out. And I am not kidding. When we stepped 1 foot off that train, we were made fully aware that the police were there. I mean, I've had police around me a lot in my life, you know, from when I used to work in a supermarket. We used to always have police coming in and speaking to us or having us walk them around the store or whatever, you know, to do with public safety, or if we thought there was anybody that was causing a danger or a hazard or anything like that. So I've always been used to that. But this made it more poignant when they were standing there armed. I mean, now I sort of thought about this before, and to a certain extent, I do think that our police here, our officers here, should be armed a lot more. You know, I think they probably should go through some sort of test or something, or some sort of checking system, so that before they get handed the firearm, that our system feels that they are good enough, that they are stable enough to carry it. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are absolutely hundreds of thousands of stories out there of police officers around the world that have gone a bit loopy and have essentially just, you know, let rip on anybody and everybody. So, in that respect, probably best not to arm anybody, but I mean, I think that's the difference as well, like, between the UK and the US. I can't remember what podcast it was that I was listening to. I think it was the Capital Gay Show. Drew said about how, if I'm wrong, and then I will reiterate this again, and I will say my apologies and I'll tell you about the riot show. But the guy said about how, what about the riots going on in Paris just now? And how, now, if I remember correctly, Paris arms its police forces. Now, if Paris has armed its police forces and that isn't scaring its citizens, then I agree with that, Joe, that we are not being told the full story. Now, they have like thousands upon thousands of people in deadly danger now. Now, see, I don't know, there's nothing that I can see to say that these riots or anything like that are still continuing. In fact, we will have a look right now. But it is just so shocking to see that even when their police forces are armed, you know, they're still not able to keep control. Which is what I'm saying is, like, obviously we are not being told the full, obviously, because if we were being told the full story about this, then we would know that there was something going on. You know, that there was something happening. So, I mean, that's what I don't get about how, you know, there's all this about how France is burning, of how, they're, what looks like, not doing anything about it, and yet, they're not doing a lot to actually go in there and fix it. So, anyway, yeah, so, yeah, moving on, you know, this was a cracking show, you know, we did a crossword, that was funny, la 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 la, we'll probably use this show as a promo, yay, that reminds me, actually, I need to go back and work on that a bit more. I had my ass kicked about my promo. I don't know if you guys have listened to the promo yet off the website, www.queerlad.co.uk. But basically, the promo is a work in progress. basically at the moment it is just a backing track, which is Podsafe, to a couple me saying a couple of things, and then with a couple of things said at the end. And basically I know I have to work on it, and I am going to work on it. It's taking time. I'm coming up, what I'm trying to do is come up with like a valid idea, and not just any sort of random, not just sort of something random, something that's around the show, centered around the show, that is going to put forward a good idea about it. So, while I'm actually looking at the news, let's hear. Speaking of Glasgow, actually, there is a story about in the news. This was posted today, Tuesday, the 29th of November at 11:22 GMT, which stands for Greenwich Mean Time. Okay, but it says, police have launched a manhunt for two masked gunmen who forced a woman from her car in Glasgow after firing a shot. And it says, the 33-year-old motorist who was alone was confronted as she parked her silver BMW convertible in Fotheringay Road, Pollock Shields, on Monday night. Says apparently the police are saying, the Strathclyde police are saying that it's the incident may be linked to another carjacking in the same area about a month ago. They say they're looking for witnesses, and they say the incident happened at around about 20 to 10 in the evening. Says on the 25th of October, a masked man was brandishing a firearm. The vehicle was never found. At this time, I can't. This is from a detective, Sergeant Tom McKay. He says, "At this time, I can't rule out the possibility that these incidents may be linked. So I would urge residents in the area to be extra vigilant and report anything suspicious to the police." Okay. Now there is another story that I want to read out, and I want to read this out purely because of the company in question, because I've spoken to this company in question, and I've been trying to decide whether I'm going to say the name or not, but I'll say it. British Gas, the UK probably most prominent gas company. Its engineers, thousands of their engineers, are going to stage 5 24-hour strikes in the run-up to Christmas and after New Year. Now, it's GMB union leaders are meeting near Birmingham, agreed stoppages for the 12th, the 19th, the 21st, and the 6th and 9th of January. The 12th, 19th, and 21st of December, and the 6th and 9th of January. Out-of-hours calls will also not be handled from the 12th to the 23rd of December, and the 4th to the 10th of January, in a row over plans to close the final salary pension to new staff. So basically, what they're saying is that for anybody new joining the company, there is a final salary pension scheme in place that they're not going to be allowed to join, and the union's not happy about that, that they've probably not been discussed about it with them, and that this is what this is about. Apparently, the long-term validity of the final salary scheme to be closed to new entrants from January depended on the changes. The GMB union has accused the company, which trades as Scottish Gas in Scotland, of breaking a deal it struck 2 years ago. Now, spokesman Brian Sutton told the BBC that the union had offered British Gas the chance to discuss arrangements for the vulnerable customers. He says, "We have today put together a plan for those customers who might be at risk. We've been offering that to British Gas, so we will provide that service to those people," he said. Now, says the company hasn't responded to them about it yet, but hopefully they will. There's apparently nearly 6,000 engineers who report in service domestic boilers backed industrial action by a ratio of 4-1 in a vote that happened last week. So one out of every four is going to haul their asses outside and basically show them that they ain't taking it anymore. You know, every company in this godforsaken country seems to think it's all right to mistreat people. Ugh. I think the best one I've ever dealt with was about my electric bill. I just moved into a flat with a boyfriend of mine at the time, and this was a couple of years ago now, and the electric company that was supplying, I didn't like, because they basically, I mean, don't get me wrong, for companies that supply electricity and gas and things like that and power, I know that they are big companies who have millions of customers. But what I don't like is when they feel that because their customer numbers are so big that they can treat you like just a number. And for what basically happened to me was that, is to say, I wanted to change my electricity supplier. So I called them up, and she said, well, basically, what we need you to do is to wait until the termination bill from the previous tenant comes in, then call us up, and we can then get it switched over at them, because what I was told was that they need to send out that letter. So I thought, that's fine, send out the letter. Hold on a second. And basically that they had sent out this letter, and then that was what had to happen. So I waited till the letter came in, and then it was like someone said, right, we're gonna go through a few steps on the phone that I need to know the details of just now. So that was fine. And so we were going through the steps, and she said, right, read off the numbers to me, the actual dial numbers. So we read that off, and she checked off against the system, updated the numbers so that it was ready for us to take over the account. Then she said to read off the actual meter number. Now this is a number that is assigned specifically to that meter, and it doesn't alter. So I read the number off, and then she sort of basically said about, oh, this number is wrong, that you've obviously misread the number. And I went, well, I read it off again, and she said, no, it's still wrong. I goes, well, why, where have you got this meter registered to? So she said that it was registered to the flat across the corridor from me, and I said, well, that might be, you know, it's a block of flats. It's possible that they've just gotten one second, I'm getting abuse here. Everyone, beware. So we read the numbers off. They were wrong. And so I had two electric meters running in the house. I don't know why. I think they had one for the lights around the place. And then they were, the other one was for the actual sockets. So I read the other one off, and she said, that's strange. That one's not even registered as being installed anywhere. So I said, well, because to tell you the truth, because the problem I've got about this is that I don't actually like you guys. I don't want my electricity to be supplied by you guys. I goes, but I get the feeling this is going to cause me a major hassle. And she said, right, we're gonna need an engineer to come out. And basically, I then waited like a further week. By this time, they changed the account over to my name, which I wasn't happy with, and I told them that I did not want that account changed to my name until I had gotten this sorted. And so, as far as I was being told, I was not being charged for my electricity or anything until this had been sorted. So the guy came out, and he basically then took a load of the numbers and then said to me, I can't do anything for you. And I went, well, I thought you were here to register these and check out what could have happened. And he was like, yeah, but I was also told to change over the supply. And I was like, no, as far as I knew, because the numbers weren't right, that the supply had, and I was like, oh Christ. So I had to then entail another phone call. And when I asked about how long it was going to take, the woman said, well, the engineer has to get back to the depot, like he has to finish all his calls, and has to place his pod that he has back into the slot of the depot, at which point it will upload to the database, and the database will be updated with the information that he has gained throughout the day. And I said, but that's no use to me, because I want to get this sorted. So basically, it ended up with me really getting abused on the phone from them on how I was being supplied my electricity by them, but I didn't want it, and how I couldn't do anything about it. So I basically said, right, I need to speak to a supervisor. This is getting out of control. You guys aren't doing anything obvious about this. You're telling me one thing, doing another, and I'm the customer, I'm the one getting left to foot the pressure for this. So the supervisor came on the phone, and she was harping on about the legalities of it. And I said, well, I understand the legality of it. You know, I understand that you got to obey the laws and procedures that are set down. But what I don't understand is why I'm the customer is having to put up with this pressure in the meantime. And she says, well, we'll make sure that you're not charged for any of the electricity that you're using, purely because it's not you're having it against your will. You know, we're supplying that property, and it's our fault, it's our problem that we need to get it sorted. We need to get the meters registered, sorted out why they're not the right numbers, and then move on from there. So I said, okay. I then received a bill from them. Now this story ended up dragging out to the extent of, when they finally got it sorted, it ended up turning out that the meter, when the block of flats that I lived in was built, it was assigned a set number of meters. Like it was, and I think it was supposed to have been that the block itself was supposed to be another floor high, so another two flats high, but it wasn't. And essentially what they had done was they had registered the meters to those apartments. Like all of the meter numbers had been registered, and what had happened, well, this was all, I found this out from my landlord, but because those meter numbers had all been registered, and when those two flats at the top weren't built, those meter registered numbers were taken off as if they weren't used, but they'd already been used elsewhere by mistake. And because the electric company didn't check, of course, when somebody goes to sort out their electric supply and gas supply and stuff like that, then there's a problem. You know, this is why I don't like mindless, faceless corporations. I also don't like it when companies are false with you. So, anyway, we are running at what time am I? We're at 34 minutes. So I think what I'll do is I will call it a day around about here. So a couple of shout outs for you guys. First of all, we have, of course, Miss Wanda Wisdom over at Lucky Bitch Radio. With her show Lucky Bitch Radio. Muppet Me. Being an absolute fantastic show that I enjoy listening to, along with the other shows that she does. I think at one point I mentioned to you guys about how I'd actually sent off a private message on Q Potter about how the show she does, Eat This Hot Show, with Reagan Fox and Madge Weinstein, was a great cheer up for me because I had been ill for a couple of days or something, and I sent her off a message, you know, just saying, I think it's just because I'd noticed she was on, and I'm just basically saying, thanks for providing such top class entertainment for me to be able to laugh at and not sit here in the dumps thinking, oh my god, this hurts. And of course, in mentioning Reagan Fox, you can listen to his podcast, Reagan Fox, Fox in the City, at reaganfox.com. There you'll be able to find information about him, the books that he has written, and the poetry that he's read or written. And you can even ask him a question yourself. Of course, Madge Weinstein can be found at yeastradio.com. Fantastic woman who does not know the meaning of the word back down, and I guarantee you that is going to be her way in life. And of course, don't forget the Capital Gay Show at thecapitalgayshow.com with the Capital Homo himself, Drew, who is an insatiable man who, I'm going to step out on a limb here, and is probably well hung. But hey, that's just me. So if you want to contact me yourself or get involved in the show, you have a massive amount of ways. If you live stateside, you can call my listener line, which is 206-984-3196. Or you can email me at any of the following three email addresses. So there's plenty, but don't say you didn't hear any of them. You can listen to email me at me@queerlad.co.uk or sexysuperman@gmail.com or queerlad001@aim.com. You can instant message me using AIM with the username queerlad001, or you can talk to me on MSN using the email address queerlad001@aim.com or me@queerlad.co.uk. Or you can Gizmo or Skype me using the username queerlad. Or if you want to record to send me a comment, you can also visit sexysuperman.podomatic.com, which is my hosting company podcast page, and click on the record an audio comment link and leave a message online. That message will then be emailed to me, and if need be, I can play it in a show for you guys. Don't forget that I have a special show coming up, which will be probably show 20, and I hope that you guys will find that one very, very interesting. So have an enjoyable night, and please be safe, guys.